This at all, up until about an hour and 15 minutes ago. Had something else in mind, even prayed about something else. I came across and I thought, and that's a kind of interesting topic, kind of a fun topic. We're going to consider the matter of nakedness. What God thinks of nakedness, the damage of nakedness. Amen.
And I was thinking about that on the way to church tonight.
Very good. We're gonna preach on nakedness. We're gonna consider what is nakedness. How does nakedness affect people? How does it degrade people? How is it a shame to people? God will even make somebody naked. God will expose somebody's nakedness, and it's not to their benefit. Doesn't benefit you to be naked. I think you can take that to every extreme, that there is nakedness is a very private thing. And when it is no longer private, you've taken what God would have to be a private thing and you've exposed it. You've exposed something that God has chosen to be extremely private. God has chosen nakedness to be clothed upon. God wants your nakedness to have clothing, whether that be spiritual or physical. Turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 2, and verse 25. Verse 25, we know that Adam and Eve were naked in the garden, and God seemed to accept the nakedness of Adam and Eve in the garden. And in verse 25, it says about that, a bit of commentary on their nakedness. It says, "And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." They were not ashamed. Let's turn to the third chapter, verse 7. Something brought shame. Something that happened to Adam and Eve and to all their children cannot be undone. It cannot be undone. There are curses that Jesus Christ lifted at the cross, but some of them were not yet lifted, and nakedness is one of those. If you expose yourself, you are naked, and there is shame. There is shame. The Bible even talks about the comely places of our body, and it talks about the entirety of the body. It says those that are more unattractive, so to say, we give the greater honor. We clothe them the most. The ones that are the most attractive, we give the least honor and we expose them. Your hands are not a very attractive thing. They're bony and they're more useful. They are more attractive than the places that are covered. And so you have your hands that are exposed, and that's fine. But those places that are very comely and are to be kept secret, you give the most honor to. But people take something that God would have you give extreme honor to, and they make it cavalier. Sure. And they take something that God has said, we want this to be so precious and so honored, and they just make it flippant. They give it no honor. They give no honor to what God has said to give honor to, and they just make it a light thing. And so let's look in verse 7. What happens to Adam and Eve? "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree? That tree is the tree of good and of evil. And they've eaten of that, and their eyes were opened." And that's not been undone. That's not been undone. You do know good and evil. You do know that when you're naked, it's a shame. People can sear that. That's a dangerous thing, is when you're seared. Pastor Vernon preached in Blaine this last Sunday, and he preached about when you become, I'll use this where I can't think of the word he used, when you become complacent is when you've taken conviction from God, little proddings. The Bible says God did not come in the thunder, nor did he come in the great wind, but he came in a still and a small voice. And you take that still small voice that says, shame, shame, shame. And you say, there is no shame here. There is no shame here. And you remove what God would have to be on your body, and you remove it in the places, in the areas, and in the situations, and in the gatherings that God would have you to show great honor to your body. And you remove that covering from your body, and there's a still small voice that says, shame, shame. But you know what? You can remove that still small voice from your life. And you know what? God won't even convict you anymore, because he said he spoke to you, and he spoke to you, and he spoke to you, but you can push that off. They ate of that tree of good and of evil. He said, hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? They ate of that, and they knew that they were naked. It's never been undone. Turn to the book of Exodus. I may not go there right away, but I'm just going to look at it. The book of Exodus, chapter 32, and verse 25. It said of Adam and Eve that they were not ashamed. They were not ashamed of it. But now that things are different, the new paragraph in verse 25, and when Moses saw that the people were naked, what happened? Moses was up on the mount. He hears the roaring. He hears the play that they were doing, that fornication Balaam taught them to do. He hears that, he comes down, and it says, and when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron, in parentheses, here's the thought about when he saw that they were naked. It said, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. God exposed the nakedness of them. You know what? It was to their shame. It was to their shame that they were exposed naked. Before, it wouldn't have been a shame. Let's just look at some thoughts on nakedness. Exodus 28. Verse 42. So the priests have much clothing. They have a lot of garb. They have a lot of jackets and ephods and ephods, and they put them over themselves and they drape themselves in much clothing. And even with that clothing on them, God could still see their nakedness. He's told them, when you go up upon the altar, don't go up there. He told them, don't walk up on that altar. I don't want to see your nakedness, because they were wearing what would be a skirt, and they would step up on that altar and they would expose their privy area to God. And God said, I don't even want to see your nakedness. And so he even made provision for that. And he said in verse 42 of Exodus 28, and thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness from the loins, which we know is in this whole general area, even under the thighs, they shall reach them. God even saw the thighs as nakedness of man. Right. God saw the thighs and he said, nakedness. We see nakedness, and people have perverted what nakedness is. People view nakedness commonly. People take in nakedness all the time. And it's just become soft to them. It's not a shame to them to see nakedness or to view nakedness or to see the nakedness of their relatives. It's not a shame to them. But the Bible says very clearly that it is a shame to view the nakedness of your close kinsmen.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
The Bible says it's a very great shame, and you should not do that. So let's consider this. These things that God would not have people to do. Let's go to the book of Leviticus in chapter 18. These are just some basic thoughts. We're going to stop here in a moment and go to some other verses, but let's read through this great and terrible chapter. I know that when my family was in such a rough way, and I can speak on this because it happened in my family, that there was much nakedness in the Asquith family and in the Asquith siblings, and the nakedness was all exposed and it was made light and brother saw brother's nakedness, and that all happened much. And you know what? It was a great shame and a destruction to the children. It destroyed us, and it imprinted on us, and it gave us desires and thoughts that we should never have. And you know what? It gave us things that we would walk with throughout life, and we would think, I need this in my life. I need that in my life. But God said you never needed those things. But people have addictions they should never have. Children at a very young age have addictions they should never have. Children have desires and reasons to disobey their parents and reasons to go against their parents because they've been exposed to things they should never be exposed to. And you know what? Those children have that imprinted in their mind. And then those children walk in those things. And those children be very savvy and intelligent children. I was a pretty smart kid. I really was. I figured out things. My older brothers would pick on me. I would go along with the picking just to fit in. But I knew it. I was not stupid. I remember at very, very young ages, them trying to play practical jokes on me. And I knew it from the beginning to the end, what was going to happen. And I walked right into it to try to fit in because I had so much pride. And you know what? Children are not stupid. Children are not dumb. Neither are adults stupid or dumb. But you can make yourself stupid and you can make yourself dumb. You know what you do? You go against that still small voice. God puts that still small voice out of the Word of God and you consider these things and you go, there are way bigger problems to deal with in my life. There are way bigger problems I have to deal with. You know what? God would have you deal with those things that He would have you to deal with. God would have you deal with them. Chapter 18 and in verse 1. This is the Lord's narrative on this. This is the Lord setting up this. God chose these words to set up this chapter. Consider this. Why did he put these verses here? He didn't say it for no reason. God chose this. Verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. Established. This is who's talking. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt. I looked into that, doings, what people do. It's things that you're known for doing. It's things that you do. You have doings. And you know what? There's doings of a land. And God wants to change that in the house of Israel. He saw that they were still doing the doings of Israel. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall you walk in their ordinances. Let's go to the book of Proverbs. Keep your finger in Leviticus 18. The book of Proverbs, chapter 20. Verse 11. In verse 11 it says, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. A child is known by his doings. Even at that young and tender age, there are doings that a person describes themselves with. A person has a description that they create. You can try to create a description of yourself in your mouth, in things that you try to act in front of other people, but your doings will be made known. The Bible talks about the way of man, which is right in his own eyes, and the way of God, where he sees the way of man and he says that it's not pure, and that it is wicked, and that it is vile. And you know what? You'll be known for your doings. As a young child, I was known for my doings. I remember the condemnation of my older brothers. Many people grow up. I had a benefit of being the very youngest of a family. I just didn't get away with anything. If I did it, there were about 7 people to mock me and to point it out and to cut me. And you know what? It helped. It helped. I had a mom that was so rough at times. I remember having a profession at the age of 9. And praying and saying that I was saved at a camp meeting. And I remember one day in a terrible fit saying that I hated everybody and whatnot. My mom was also in a pretty rough way. And bless her heart, she did a great thing for me and helped me. She said, you are so wicked. you're such a vile little child. And she said, you're not saved. You're lost. And I remember getting so mad and going, I am saved. And she said, you're lost and you know it. And I remember being so mad and so angry. But you know what? I was known by my doings. I was known by my doings. I did wicked things. If you do wicked, be not deceived, little children. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. What is righteousness? Paul said, if righteousness were by the law, we'd be in trouble. Righteousness is not by the law. Righteousness is by the blood of Jesus Christ. Righteousness is by the blood of Jesus Christ. So if you see somebody that doesn't act by the blood of Jesus Christ, you see somebody who doesn't have righteousness. And so you see somebody doing all these things and you say, man, all these doings are righteous. No, they're doings. Is it by the blood of Jesus Christ? Do you see the fruit of the blood of Jesus Christ in a life? A child can even be known by its doings, his doings. Let's turn to the book of Jeremiah quickly. Also, continue to keep your finger in Leviticus. Jeremiah 17, extremely famous quoted verse in our church, but we're going to skip it and go to verse 10. With the laughter of Autumn Ford. Where are you, Autumn? All right, verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. The Bible says even a child is known by his doings, whether they be pure and whether they be right. And you know what? I look back at my life now, and I remember, probably my earliest memories are about the age of 4. Don't remember much further back than that. And you know what? I remember even then being as wicked as I could possibly think to be. I would push my mind to go to the furthest extent. I remember at that age hearing preaching that if you mocked the Holy Ghost, you would die for it. And I remember being under preaching at that age and attempting to mock the Holy Ghost. I remember trying to bring up the most gross thoughts into my mind, and I would try to think of the most vile things that a person could do with another person because I was sexualized at a young age. And you know what? I would try to bring up those things and mantra them through my head to try to curse the Holy Ghost and to try to get myself in trouble with God and to try to curse God and defile God. And that was at the age of 4 in the church at Gethsemane. I would try to do that at that age. And I would try to think of gross things to make God angry enough to kill me. And you know what? I ate of the fruit of my doings from that age.
Yep.
I, at the age of 9, just give some testimony in this, it's just where it is. I, at the age of 9, was so torqued on the inside and so twisted that almost everything I did had to either be showing off or some kind of extreme here or extreme there because I was so torqued. I remember telling Sam at the age of about 15, we would talk about this, and I'd say, man, everybody's smile is fake. Everybody has a fake smile. Everybody does a fake laugh, because I like to watch fakeness. I was really big on, because I was so fake. I was so fake, I could not even laugh without realizing you laughed on purpose right there. I couldn't even do it. Somebody would say something, and I would realize, these two adults are angry with each other. Let's observe here, and I would realize what exactly is going on. I'd be hovering around Sam like, Sam, not a good time, not a good time. And Sam's like, dude, what's your problem? And I'd be like, dude, not a good time, I'm telling you. And we would talk about it, but Sam would get angry. Not everybody's smile is fake. And he was right. My smile was fake. But you know what? I reaped of the fruit of my doings. I reaped of those. As a child, I had doings that described me, how I acted. And you know what? I reaped the benefit of that. I lived a tormented and tortured life as a young man. I would have lots of fun, lots of good times, lots of great memories, but I lived tormented.
Yeah.
I lived tormented day to day, irritated with this, ashamed of this, act out real crazy here, back off here, bitter for 2 weeks straight, not bitter, super, all this, but back and forth, and there was no blood of Jesus Christ in my life. There was no cleansing of my life. All it was things would get a little better. Hey, I learned a work ethic because I'm around John Mark all the time, and he would take us out to the woods, and he would take Sam and I, and we would just work on a fort for 6-8 hours straight as little boys. And you know what? You learn a work ethic. And suddenly, you can just pick up things and just go and do it for hours by yourself. And you know what? I would never fix the problems on the inside of me.
Right.
And never fix the problems. Sometimes we'll see somebody who's all messed up and whatnot, and you try to cosmetically fix it. And you'll say, this person just needs to stand up for themselves. You need to be stronger. Don't let people pick on you and push you down. That's not the problem. That's not the problem. The problem, somebody could stand up for themselves if they didn't have internal problems. The problem is on the inside. The Bible said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. And you know what? People don't keep their heart with all diligence. And they walk around with a heart. The Bible said in the 15th proverb, I believe I read it today, it said that the lip where perverseness is found. You have everything going right. You speak right, but then there's a little bit of perverseness found in your mouth, and it said it's a breach in spirit. It's a breach in spirit. It said a man that can't control his own spirit is like a city without walls. And you know what? You have a little bit of perverseness in your mouth that comes out, you have no control. You have no control. So let's turn back to the book of Leviticus. Back to nakedness. What does God think of nakedness? What does God think of it? Be good for the children to pay close attention. Even if you're young. Even if you're young, it'd be very good for you to pay very close attention to what I'm saying and to give me every bit of your attention, every bit of it. It'd be good for you just to consider these words and hear out of the Word of God, because God wants you to believe this. Verse 4, speaking to Israel again, he's telling them what they shall do. Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Verse 5, you shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. Verse 6, none of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. That covers all the rest of the verses we're about to read. That covers it. Read it again. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. You don't uncover your kin's nakedness. You don't do that. But there's such a lack and a slack. I've heard people talk about where I work, their children who are far too old. And I remember being devious years younger than their children, but they talk about their children seeing their wife's nakedness, every bit of it. And seeing their wife's nakedness, and that is wicked.
Right. Yep.
That does damage.
Yep.
That does hurt.
Right. Yeah.
You hurt people when you show your nakedness to them.
That's right.
Yes.
You hurt people when you show your nakedness to them. What does it say of a man and a wife? It says that they become one flesh and one body. You know what? That's my body. That's my nakedness. That's her body. This is her nakedness. And you know what? Anything outside of that, got some problems. I know there's children of a young age. But where do you draw the line? That's up to the parents. That's up to the home. You can't get your rules from a church. You personally make your own rules. I could tell details and I could tell stories of the perverseness of children that I knew going to different churches and of my own perverseness and the conversations that we would create in like that. And you know what? Those children recognize each other immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately. And I'd walk into a place and I would just immediately start talking to this person and we would immediately start talking about perverseness. Immediately. We would immediately start to discuss those things. And you know what? I was a cute little kid. I had my tie, my shirt tucked in just nice, and I would say respectful things to adults and they would like me and I would try to be funny because I was smart and I would try to please adults and because I had to fit in, and if it was cool to not fit in, I would not fit in. And you know what? Even like that, I remember being tormented and knowing the addictions I had at that age and knowing the perverseness that I was going to go back to it. I was going to go back to it at a very young age. And I would show up to a church and we would see these new kids. And I remember my parents one time being in a house and they were talking with the parents and myself. And I would just run off with the children. We immediately talked of perverseness and spoke of things that we should never speak of and look at things we should never look at. God said it's so wicked and it's so damaging. And I look back now and I say, oh, that's where that stuff came from. That's why I was so torqued on the inside. I talk to some people and they have everything figured out and they're pretty aggressive and they'll try to be strong, and then you wonder why they're so insecure. And you think, man, they're really strong. They're not insecure. No. The Apostle Paul could be weak with those that are weak, but some people can't ever be weak. They can't ever be weak. They can't ever be weak. They always have to be strong. They always have to be strong. And you know what? Because they're bent up on the inside. They're bent up on the inside. Verse 7, the nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even in their nakedness, thou shalt not uncover. You have a sister that's born in another land? She's still your sister. She's still your sister. Those that uncover the nakedness of their sister are perverse and wicked and vile and perverse and wicked and vile. And you know what? You will reap the fruit of your doings.
Yeah.
You will reap the fruit of your doings. If you do those things wherein God has seen, that's your doings, and you do those and they're contrary to God, and you don't have any respect for nakedness, you're going to reap that. You're going to reap that. You think, there's no damage in exposing my nakedness to a child. There's no damage in that. There's great damage in that. There's great damage in that. Great damage. Children are not foolish. I was not foolish as a child. I was no fool. I was a fool. Let me replace those words. I was not stupid as a child. I was not unsmart. I was very foolish. But I was smart, and I could pick up on things. And some people are smart in their own ways. Some people have a smartness here and a smartness there, but you know what? Children are pretty savvy to the doings of adults.
Yep. Yep.
Children are pretty savvy.
Exactly.
Children are pretty savvy. Children are pretty savvy. All right. Verse 9, again. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father or daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness, thou shalt not uncover. The nakedness of thy son's daughter or of thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness, thou shalt not uncover. For theirs is thine own nakedness, the nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Verse 12, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She is thy father's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thy aunt. Verse 15, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswoman. It is wickedness. The Bible describes it as wickedness.
Right.
Wickedness. Wickedness. And you know what? We try to attribute problems that people have to 1,000 other things other than breaking the laws of God.
Right.
Man, this person has this problem because socially they struggle. Man, I'm going to help them out socially. I don't know. You can think of anything. I go back to this all the time because I hear people talk about it. Man, I'm going to get them to work out. And man, let's teach him how to fight. Man, let's teach this kid how to fight. And then he'll be able to handle all these things. Nope, you gave him another avenue to not handle the problem. You gave him another avenue to not handle the problem. Mm-hmm. You know what? Me learning a great work ethic was great, but all it did was bury the problem. All it did was bury the problem. It just exposed. You know what? I was more exposed when I was lazy. Yeah. Because I was lazy and perverse.
Yeah.
But then suddenly I wasn't lazy and I was perverse. A lot of people don't sleep. A lot of people don't even sleep. They can't even get sleep because they're so perverse. They can't even get sleep. They can't even sleep. I remember as a very young child not getting sleep. I mean like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, all the way up. I remember not getting sleep because of perverseness. I remember not getting sleep because of it. You think, God forbid, you shouldn't even talk like that. He goes on everywhere. And you know what? Thank God we have a Bible. Thank God we have parents. Thank God. I remember being so torqued because of the perverseness of my life at maybe the age of 5, 4, telling my dad, I'm just going to kill myself. Dad, I'm just going to commit suicide. I think that's what I'm going to do. And I remember him crying and telling me and saying, Tim, you don't need to kill yourself. And saying things, Tim, you can live. You don't have to hate your mom and your dad. I remember telling him, I hate you. I hate you, mom. I hate you, dad. I hate your guts. I hope you burn in hell. I remember my dad taking me and I would lose in rage and I would kick and I would fight and he would just hold me. Because at that point, the cops were involved and you know what? You couldn't beat your child like you probably needed to because they were checking his body. And I remember him telling me, Timothy, you know what we have? He said, I have these 5 fingers. And he said, I have Jesus for this. And you know what? I wish at the age of 5, I would have chosen Jesus.
That's right.
But all I did was chose to fix the symptoms. You try to be better friends with people. You try to learn some social skills. You try to learn a work ethic. You try to stand up for yourself and try to be some kind of man, but you've never chosen Jesus Christ. And he's never fixed the root of the problem. And you still have the fruit of your doings. And you know what? The Bible says, even a child is known by the fruit of his doings, whether they be pure or whether they be right. And I was known by that. And all I could do was hide. All I could do was hide. And so you learn things that appease and please older people. And you know what? Some of those things I'm so glad that I learned, but I stacked them on top of other things. I stacked them on top of problems. And you know what the Bible says? There is no foundation other than Jesus Christ the Lord. There is no foundation. But you know what my foundation was? And all I could do was edify the foundation that I already had. If you're going to build upon your life and learn skills and learn things that you ought not to do and things that you should do and build on this and that, you're edifying. You're edifying yourself. You're building upon.
You're building upon yourself. You're edifying yourself. And you know what? The problem is that your foundation is corrupt.
Right.
Your foundation is totally corrupt. Okay, I'll learn not to do sin. I'll get this sin out of my life. I'll build some character upon a corrupt foundation. What have you done? You've removed sin from your life and never removed the foundation. You've never removed the foundation. And you still have a foundation of sin. And you have to deal with that sin. But you won't deal with that sin because you've built upon the foundation. You can't deal with the sin. For you to deal with the sin would be to rip everything out. Your entire life would fall apart. And you know what? Some people need to talk to people. Some people need to open up. Some people need to go and talk to people. Some children need to talk to people and say, hey, I've got a problem. Some children need help. And you know what? Can I attest to you that there is help in Jesus Christ?
That's right.
That there is so much help in Jesus Christ that it doesn't even make sense. It does not even make sense, the amount of help I've gotten in my life. I told a guy at work this morning when I showed up, I said, I literally laid there in the bed sometimes in my honeymoon and think, who am I to deserve God's favor? But the Bible says, he that findeth the wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord.
Amen.
And I would just be shocked at that. Man, that's like God showing me favor. Oh, you know what? Prove God at his word.
Right.
He's already said it.
Right.
But you know what? Some children need to talk to adults. They need to talk to somebody. I get if it's past a time and the years have gone by and you cannot address certain things and you must address them. There is an advocate. There is somebody to go to with your problems, with the things that have got you. But you know what? You know what we say? That's not the problem. This is the problem.
That's right.
And possibly this, and possibly this, and possibly this, but all you're going to do is edify yourself, and you're going to build on a corrupt foundation, and all your foundation is sand. But you have a past of nakedness. Oh, I've seen the nakedness of my near kinsperson. How wicked. How wicked. How vile. How vile. Now, I'm not going to address those things. I'm not going to address the problem as possibly the Word of God. No, they're all social problems. They're all social problems. Maybe I need a social worker in my life. Maybe I need somebody that can talk to me and like explain and maybe work this out and give me some kind of counsel on these things. No. It said, and he shall be called counselor. 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 You know what the secret to the Christian life is? You know what the secret is to walking in joy and walking in the Holy Ghost and being filled with the Holy Ghost and praying in the Holy Ghost and walking in the Spirit and having joy every single moment? Obedience. Obedience. Obedience is the secret. It's not figuring social things out. It's not making friends. It's not fixing the problems with you. You can't get rid of the bitterness and get peace on the inside if you don't have Jesus Christ. I know people that have gotten past a lot. I spoke with a man today who's considerably my senior, probably considerably more intelligent than I am, and he had no peace on the inside, but I even talked about bitterness with him, and he talked about, yeah, he got that. A lot of people struggle with bitterness. They have a lot of big, bitter problems. You know what? He seemed to be past a lot of that. Amen. Amen, man. That's how you burn in hell, fixing your problems. That's how you get to hell with a lot of problems that aren't in your life anymore. Man, I have this stack of problems in my life. I'm going to whittle them all down, and I'm never going to remove the foundation, and I'm going to go into hell. I'm going to go into hell without all the problems. You know what happens with time? You get older, you get some wisdom of years, and all the stupid stuff you used to do isn't really that important to you anymore. It's not that important to go see the nakedness of your siblings. It's not that important to go chase after the nakedness of others. It's not that important. And those problems just kind of seep away. And you say, it's not even that important to go be a brute. It's not even that important to go fornicate. It's not even that important to do those things. And man, I don't even have, it's not even that important to sleep in anymore. And I'm just going to get myself up and do what I'm supposed to do. And people will see me as this great work ethic. It's not even that important to look cool in front of a boy or look cool in front of a girl. And it's not even important. It's just years have gone by. You don't even care. You've seen the end of people's lives. You've seen friends die. You've got older. You yourself have many more skills than you used to. You're much more confident. You can go out and talk to people because you got all these skills in your life. And you've seen the far low. You've been really low before in your life. And you've also been exalted in your life. And you've seen the ups and downs. And life isn't that confusing anymore. And you've got it figured out. And you're walking in a way that you think is pretty good. And you've never removed the foundation. All you've done is built upon the sand. All you've done is built upon the sand. You've never removed the foundation. You love yourself. You love yourself. You're in love with yourself. You love yourself. Pastor Vernon said it like this when he was preaching. He said, I can't understand why people won't get saved. And he used to say this, and it would just gut me. But he said this, other than that they have found fault with Jesus Christ. You found fault with Jesus Christ. He is the answer. He is the solution. He is the counselor. He is the help. You don't have to walk in your sin. You don't have to edify a sandy foundation. You can build upon the rock. But the problem is, all the preaching ever does is tear you down because you yourself want to obey God. You want to obey God because you have fault with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ isn't good enough. Jesus Christ can't fix those problems. I was so convinced that I couldn't find the answer here that I wouldn't even look for it there. I was so convinced I couldn't find the answer there. And I would agree and agree and agree with the preachers because I loved them and I liked being in church and I liked the feeling of it. I even liked conviction. I liked when the goosebumps started on my arms and I would think, oh my goodness, wow, God's really moving. I'm so blessed here today. And you know what? I still despise Jesus Christ.
Yep.
You despise him. It's not good enough for me. I don't need Jesus. If you needed Jesus, you'd go to Jesus. If you needed Jesus for your problems, you'd go to him. You'd have him. He'd be yours. And you'd be his. You don't go to Jesus. Jesus isn't good enough for you. Jesus can't help your problems. Jesus can't fix social problems for you. You know what? Jesus would just fix all the stuff on the inside. And you know what? You'll start to walk and realize, man, it's almost like my foot's not out of joint anymore. Talks about an unfaithful messenger. It's like a foot out of joint. I believe that is what it's speaking of there. You know what? You walk around, and you got a faithful messenger on the inside. You got the word of God. You got the law written on your heart. Because in Psalm 51, verse 6, it said, behold, Lord, behold, thou, Lord, desirest truth on the inward parts. And suddenly you have a faithful messenger on the inside. You walk about and your ankle isn't about to break. And with your ankle not about to break, you have a sure footing and you wonder, oh, man, I got fixed by something happening on the inside.
Amen.
But you know what? You seek the physicians. You seek the physicians. Man, maybe if we could just fix these social problems and brace this ankle real good and get some healing for the ankle, maybe we could fix the problem. But God's screaming at you. He's saying, heck, it's on the inside. He's saying, heck, it's on the inside. All the physical problems, people look at most of their physical problems. Man, I almost don't take ibuprofen anymore when my neck hurts because I consider God's probably trying to tell me something. And so I looked to him. Megan had sent me some verses about a couple months ago where David, there had been a famine in the land for 3 years. And David didn't even seek God about it. He had a famine for 3 years and he did not seek the Lord. And finally he sought the Lord and said, God, why do we have a famine in the land? And God said, ah, there are those of the house of Saul who have not been showed honor and things need to happen for them. And he helped Mephibosheth, the children of
Saul's son. And you know what? All the problems went away. But we walk around and we know that God desires good things for us, and we walk around and we don't even turn to God for the problem. We don't even look to God. Jesus isn't good enough. Jesus isn't good enough for our problems. He's not good enough. He's not good enough. I'll just speak on his behalf a little bit. He is good enough. He is good enough. He is good enough. Jesus Christ is so wonderful that you could walk into church and be filled with so much joy and so much love of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Can I say that the Holy Ghost is as real today, right here, as he is in heaven? He is as real. Amen, Miss Jody. He's as real right here as he is in heaven. Jesus Christ is just as real right here as he is in heaven. The body is just as real here as it is in heaven. So where two or three are gathered in my name, he's there. And you know what? Hello, Jesus. Hello, Holy Ghost. Hello, God the Father. Thank you for showing up. We appreciate it. And you know what? That may sound corny. It doesn't sound corny to me. Because I believe it. I believe they're here. And you know what? Jesus Christ sitting there with the people, ready and able to heal them. And he sits there, and Jesus Christ is there, and all those people don't want to come to him. All those people don't want to get healed by them. I, as a saved person, went quite a while before I would look to the Savior. Before I would look to the Savior. Before I would look to the Savior and say, help! And you know what? Too proud to cry for help? Your pride will keep you from getting help. Too proud to say you got a problem? Probably too proud to get the problem fixed. And you know what? You're going to walk around with a bunch of problems, a bunch of solutions to the problems that you've initiated in your mind, but you never search the scriptures to find the problem healer. You never search the scriptures to find the solution to all this stuff. And so you're walking your life with no solution, no healing, and you eat of the fruit of your doings. It's the effect of it. Close with that. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for the Word of God. And I thank you for the effect that it's had on my life and how it's changed my life. And it's given me peace and truth on the inside. And God, I thank you for how you've helped these people. And God, if you gathered these people here tonight and know who is coming, God, it's because you wanted them here and you wanted to give them help and you wanted to bless them. And Father, God, the Bible says that sin will keep good things from us. Sin will do it. Sin keeps good things from us. God, help us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I do pray, amen.
Can I read one verse real quick?
Go ahead.
Just for anyone who is always wicked like I was, when you could find fault with anything, and you're like, well, I don't have a sister. I don't have a brother. I'm going to read one verse from 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verse 2, it's telling you how you should treat people. The elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity.
That's right.
So it's not only your family. God tells you to treat them as mothers and sisters.
Amen.